And we are back with another episode of Black and a Half.
All right. Our guest today, author Randy Henderson.
Yes.
He's out with his third book. His third book, Smells Like Finn Spirit.
Yes.
Which we appreciated as comedians.
That's right.
It's a pun on Seattle.
Yeah. All you Nirvana fans out there.
Yeah. It's it follows the adventures of Finn Fancy.
Yes, Necromance.
And it's set in is it set in Port Angeles?
Set in Port Townsend.
Port Townsend. See, Port Townsend. Yeah, and I was like, it's one of the. I always mix those two ports up.
Get your shit right.
I mix the ports up. Don't tell me.
Seattle area.
There you go. Yeah.
It's actually set in the Seattle area, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I love when we get to set things. I love books. There was this book.
Twilight.
No, just Book to Die. It's a mystery. If you ever like mystery novels,
love mystery.
It's called
novels.
Book to Die.
Okay.
It's like a trilogy. It's set like the guy moves to Seattle.
Okay.
And it's all like set here.
Oh, okay.
And it's really fun. It's about rare book collecting.
What era?
Well, it's modern, but whatever was written. So it was like probably 90s.
Okay. All
right. I forget that. I was like, wow, I bet that book would make easily solvable.
Yeah.
How many mysteries are easily solvable now that we have Google?
Yeah.
I'll just look him up on Facebook.
Right.
Oh, that's the murderer right there. Yeah. He's in the picture with him.
Right. Well, anyways, you're going to love this episode. We talk about everything from Iron Fist to...
Oh, yeah. The thrilling adventure that is Iron Fist.
Yes.
We're talking about... Capturing the internet by way.
Game of Thrones for you fans out there who want to know how many seasons are left.
Yep.
We confirm. Yep.
Talk about auditioning. I have my horrible audition experience. Yeah.
Talk about my mediocre.
Your mediocre auditions experience.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
You did great.
Thanks.
You won.
I hope so.
You won comedy.
Thank
that
you.
Night. and I'll tell you. I talk about my time at the Camlin medieval village.
This is the craziest, weirdest thing I've heard yet in your life. But it seems like I need to go check it out.
I feel like I have a lot of weird things. Like, I do weird shit.
But it makes for
always
great,
shows up.
It makes for great material, though. It really
but I never write about that
Same
stuff.
Same here. Like, we need to start doing that. We got to start writing about our experiences with...
Other people, like, they go to a yogurt shop and they write 20 minutes on it.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
What?
Was there any black people at this thing?
Only the one my cousin brought. Okay, so that sounds weird. Like, she didn't bring him, like, so he had to go there. But I'll tell you, me and him looked at each other when we walked in. We're like, this reminds us of a movie we just saw.
Get
it. Yeah. We're like, it's a little weird.
That's hilarious.
We just transported to 1300s. We're trying to figure out our status, which actually I think was better
than
like 1500s.
Yeah, that's when
I think they were cool. Like, oh, there's a dark-skinned person. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
They got a tan.
Whatever. Okay. A savage? I don't know.
I think we might have been kings.
Before they had decided, like, hey, what if we use them?
But yeah, they got gold on. So, yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, this is a fun episode. Be sure to check us out.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Share this.
Purchase a book or two.
Yeah. A book?
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah. Finn Fancy.
Yeah, from Finn Fancy.
Yeah.
Not us.
Not
like,
us.
We have a book?
Yeah, I wish.
It's like, holy shit.
We'll put out the autobiography.
You tell me about the autobiography of Black and a Half.
Yeah.
They started off as semi-interesting comedians in Seattle.
And then they became awful comedians. And,
and then they started selling out everywhere.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that works.
Fun times.
Today's episode is brought to you by Excitement.
Yes.
Excitement. Getting you to do the dishes just so you can have sex since the 1700s. Since they invented plates. Because they used to have trenchers.
Yeah.
You'll learn about that on this episode.
Yeah.
You used to have trenchers.
Yeah.
Do you got anything going on in May?
In May?
Coming up?
I don't think so.
No. I don't book that far ahead.
Yeah, neither
Nobody
do I.
Wants
yeah,
me.
No, I'm that not that ahead. Interesting yet.
Yeah.
So.
The May the 4th, though, is happening.
Oh.
So remember, get your Star Wars parties ready.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, maybe
it's
going to
be incredible.
Maybe we'll book something.
We should.
We should do it at the parlor.
I'm thinking about that. I just thought of that.
Yeah.
May the 4th. Now I think I have something.
Oh, okay.
I better look that up.
Cool.
May the 4th. Maybe it was like, I want to do a show.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, nah, it's too much effort. big thanks to our sponsor, Skyline Properties. Go to silasgetsreal.com if you're interested in your buying or selling needs for residential homes. And big thanks to all of the comedy clubs around here supporting Manning and Silas, part of the Live Comedy Club, Laughs Comedy Club, Comedy Underground. Yes. Sometimes. Sometimes John Fox is like, hey, you want to go do this show? I'm like, yeah, sure. Cool. Can I feature too? He's like, well, we'll talk about that. I'm like, okay. He's getting me money sometimes.
Yeah, and to all you little, to all the independent
All producers. The independent people. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you.
You know, message us if you want us to promote your show. We'll do that. We'll do it. Maybe. Yeah. If I like you. If you book me. I'm not saying you have to book me. Yeah.
Then we'll put you on the show.
But you should book me.
Yeah.
And this is a great episode.
Enjoy.
Randy Henderson.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Thumbing.
No, thumb, that's not good, man.
Thumb on a drum. It reminds me, my daughter's obsessed with the book, the little one, the 15-month-old.
Oh, okay.
It's Dr. Seuss, like.
So with the page?
Thumb, thumb, a thumb. Dum diddy, dum, dum.
Okay.
Like it's about drumming.
Oh, okay.
And now she started drumming.
Really?
Like we brought a little drum out. She goes, bum, 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 bum. Downstairs, her neighbor loving it.
Oh, gosh.
It's like,
man, finally
get the kid with the drums.
Yeah.
And she found a mallet. She realized if she takes her mallet that's for a little, like, it's like a xylophone. Mm-hmm. She realized, wow, boom, on the drum.
Oh,
this
wow.
is loud. Boom. So she's like, ba, 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 ba.
And then when you take it away, she screams.
I don't take it away. I don't like my downstairs neighbor.
Break out some pots and some, you know, flip over some tupperware bowls. And then she can really get going. Like,
go to
that'll
town,
That'll be good.
Man.
Right. That'll be good.
And then you can own the downstairs area too, man.
On the weekends, she can make a little cash on the, you know.
There you go, right? With the street drummers.
I need her busking. She can busk. Yeah, she's got to earn her keep.
Heck right. Yeah, man.
How
15
much?
Months.
My car is probably worn down from driving her places.
Right? Isn't your mom Jamaican or something?
She is, yeah.
No, okay. Oh, don't they have a lot of jobs at a young age?
Oh, well, no. Sorry. My mom's not Jamaican. She's lived in Jamaica, has a fake Jamaican accent that she's kept with her since she left there. She does. She has a fake like Jamaican accent half the time. Then she reverts into Boston, where she's from.
Awesome.
It's just this great.
Baston.
Once I can figure out the comedy bit for it, I'm going to be doing that.
There you
because
go.
It's a hilarious thing that she's like, depends. Like she'll be talking like Jamaican off the phone and then go on talking to her aunt, her sister.
That is, I love it. There was actually a white guy in St. Lucia when we went who had a deep accent, and we were like, where's he from? And they were like, oh, yeah, he's from New York. And I was like, oh, shit. So just kind of to fit in, you kind of just do that. That's,
okay.
That's
awesome.
He's hoping to be the new Snow.
You're right.
Coming back.
Tell me if this is super racist. That I don't know. I don't know if I was driving some people on a Lyft yesterday, and they were, I picked them up. There's two girls and a guy, and they're talking, and the guy obviously has an accent.
Right.
Like, strong accent.
Where's he from?
The two of them. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
The two of them. Maybe have an accent. I can't, like, it goes off and on.
Okay.
Like, I'm not sure. But I'm like, I think there's an accent. And then they said, I was talking to him. It's like, oh, so we're finding out what's going on. They're like, oh, yeah, we're just visiting. From here. I'm like, oh, where are you from? And they're like, oh, we're from San Diego.
Right.
I'm like, oh, so, like, but like, no, but like,
originally.
We're all from San Diego. Where are you originally from? They're like, San Diego.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh, so I don't. Am I not getting an accent? I swear I hear an accent going on. So they're like, well, we're Mexican. It's right next to Mexico. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, and then I tried to, like, qualify it and go, like, well, okay, you know, usually when people say they're from San Diego, it's like, some girl's like, I'm from SoCal.
Oh,
and
right.
And they're like, that's what I'm thinking. And I was like, I just accused them of not really being like an American because they have an accent.
Yeah, you're probably.
That's what I did.
Yeah, a little bit. No.
What I thought about, I'm like, why didn't I, like, because if they were from Southerners, I would have been like, you know.
I'll tell you what, that's not. Said,
where are you really from?
Oh, yeah, okay, that's not half as bad as I had a coworker when I was a teller at the bank. who would change her accent depending on who was in her window.
Shush.
So, like, yeah, she would, like, if there was an Asian customer, she would, like, try to talk like them.
Oh, no.
What? And I'm like, she was like, no, it makes them feel more comfortable. White? No, she was Iranian. And I was like, no, that doesn't make them feel more comfortable. I think it
Did
might.
Did she go ching chong to
no.
them?
Like, no, she was just like, would you like the... I was like, oh, whoa, no. You've got to be kidding me. I was like, you've
got
to stop that.
And she complaints about it?
Never got complaints,
like,
but...
There's that little bit of bleed over. Like, if you go to the South for any length of time, like,
right.
It starts to bleed in, right?
Yeah,
starts,
yeah, yeah.
Like, say y'all and stuff like that, right? But, like, yeah, but that is, no. Like, mm-hmm. just someone...
yeah.
My wife actually does audio. And
oh, okay.
We took an accents class together just
nice.
Because it would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had no problem, like, doing the Irish and then stuff like that. But then, like, last couple days, you know, he did Asian.
Oh.
And I was like, no, I don't feel comfortable doing this, really. And then, and Mexican. I just didn't feel comfortable doing. I'm like, nope, sorry. I'm just going to.
You know, I've always wondered that. So, like,
back on this
because thing. I think everybody, like, there's such a melting pot in certain areas. So, like, even if you go to, you go to England, everybody's there, right? You go to the U.S., like, in the South, there's pretty much a culmination of everybody. Even if you go to Africa, there's a good culmination. Even Australia. But I think Asian countries are predominantly Asian. You don't see too many, like, you know, minorities growing up in Asia and then, you know, doing that accent. So, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if those places become more diverse in the future and you see, like, black people with, like, Asian accents. I'd be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of Asian, how about that Iron Fist, huh?
Oh, man. I haven't seen it yet. So have you seen it?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I've been Iron Fisted. Yes. What?
It's boring. I keep reading everybody's read is posting about it being boring.
I've actually had a few people who said it was really good. I don't know.
Are they boring people?
They're pretty boring people.
Okay.
So, possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'd say yes. It's boring. Mm-hmm. And it has a number of problems. But yeah, boring.
Okay.
Is it the first Marvel failure, you think?
I think. No, I would say Nick Fury with David Hasselhoff was probably the
what?
Marvel. Oh, you never saw this?
Like, oh, I now I'm like having a vague
90s.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Was that a live action TV?
Yeah,
I think
like
so.
That.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I forgot about that.
It was so good.
I mean, the second they chose David Hasselhoff, you know, like, well, you just gave up.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's not.
It's so crazy.
What was it? Did they go over S.H.I.E.L.D.? It was all the S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know, was it S.H.I.E.L.D.? I feel like it was S.H.I.E.L.D. Like,
yeah,
he was leading.
He was, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't the first time they've had a show focused
no.
on this.
No. So
wow.
And then Sam Jackson came in and redid
it took
all,
that.
So, yeah.
Yep.
But Nick Fury became black before him, right?
I feel like it was in maybe 2000 or something. Or they started kind of dicing up the characters and reinventing the wheel and making more minorities. I still feel like there's not a lot of Asian characters, though, which is like...
Well,
that was
been good to make Iron Fist Asian American.
Yeah, seriously, like, you know what I mean? And, like, so we were actually talking about that at...
Is it an American? Is Iron Fist in America?
Yeah, he's, like, the most boring, bland, scrawny, non-kung-fuing...
Right.
Is that what it's supposed to be? Or is he supposed
to be... So, you know, if you're that's part of the controversy is that, like, you know, if you're purists that are like, you know, well, he was white in the comics in the 70s or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, Nick Fury was white in the comics.
Yeah,
in the 70s,
exactly.
Right. So I think, you know, for multiple reasons, it would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if Sam Jackson played Princess Leia, we'd all accept a black Princess Leia. Like, we'd all be like, well, you can do anything you want. You can do anything you want.
And he does.
You're really good,
like,
at it.
The only reason he doesn't play, like, every role is just because he's playing every other role.
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
He's like, you know, I can only do 300 movies a year.
Right,
know,
yeah.
So.
Oh, gosh, man. It's so true. Like, we were talking about that at Comic-Con, that there's not enough representation of, like, Asian, you know, characters in the movies. Like,
it breaks me up every night I think about it.
Was it Tilda Swinton or Tilda?
Yeah,
where she played the ancient one in Doctor Strange. You had
what's funny though, what I've read about that, apparently the way they pitched it to Tilda mm-hmm. was they were trying to make it less racist.
Really?
Because by, like, oh, they don't want the stereotypical, so they're making it ancient, but, like, maybe, you know, Celtic ancient, like, it can still be ancient, but they were switching the gender of it already, so that was a big change. But they didn't want it to be the stereotypical.
I have a few
Asian
friends who
are really
upset.
That was their claim to her. Yeah. Because she had, her and Margaret Cho had a bunch of a big exchange about it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because she was like, Tilda was like, wait, I really thought I was doing something good here by it becoming a woman. I didn't mean to, like, so why is
Even when you're doing good in the world, like, there's always going
to
be somebody.
There's enough people on Twitter to make you feel awful.
Yeah, no matter what you do. Like, did you see poor Steve Martin when he tweeted about Carrie Fisher?
Oh yeah.
And everybody just like shut his shit down, and he just
can you imagine if it. We Are the World was done now, like how many people would shit on it? Why you're using African children for your own benefit to make you feel good? Why you gotta sing about it? Why don't you just donate your money, you rich people?
What do you mean by We Are the World? Are you trying to impose your worldview on, you know? So no, it's true.
Oh, you mean American, it's, Western.
That's
you
know? Right.
I think that sometimes, you know, progressives, I'm progressive, I'm liberal. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, but I'm, in terms of, you know, the police, self-policing, and attacking each other rather than focusing on the thing. But you know, I'm a white dude, so I you know, I have to step back and, you know, each issue that they raise is valid, right?
Right.
So it's just when they start to those issues start to butt heads, and they're trying to and trying to prioritize. Or it's I did a post where it's like we need more yes and less yes but. You know, yes, your issue is valid and my issue is valid, and how can we both raise up?
I think now we're to a point. You know, we have hobbyist comedians, we have hobbyist tennis players, and now you have hobbyist getting offended. You know, like they're hobbyist equal rights people. They're just doing it for a little bit because they don't have anything else going on. No, and they're like, let me I need to be outraged. If I'm not outraged, what else am I going to do today?
Yeah, I do feel like that's the problem.
Too many poetry readings.
I feel like we've pushed everybody so far away. Like, you know, I feel like we had Wisconsin at one point. You know what I mean? We had all these states that were blue. And then we just became the politically correct police.
Hey, Wisconsin wasn't blue because they believed in equal rights.
Well, I'm just saying,
they're blue for the grassroots.
But we were, you know,
economically.
We kind of came to the point of it was us versus them. Where I'm with you. Like, Dave Chappelle is getting policed right now because of his material being, you know, but that's comedy. It's like, you know, I guess there's been white comics who have offended like me, but I'm like, it's comedy, you know what I mean? I'm like, whatever. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
I
don't talk to them though. Yeah. Screw that person.
But yeah, Twitter will shut your shit down, man, if you say anything that they disagree with. But I feel like, yeah, we're almost like too politically correct at this point.
Are you a big Twitter guy?
I keep saying I need to be a more Twitter more, but I just like I do like two tweets and then it's like, you know, a month later I'm like, oh yeah, I need to do Twitter more. But you know, I think that Twitter is a voice, right? I mean, a platform. A lot of these people, I mean, the outrage is valid, it's real, you know, and they don't have, a lot of these people don't have another outlet where they feel they can be heard.
Sometimes I wonder if Twitter's
important for that.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't know anybody who actually uses Twitter for real.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
to really, like, they're only, like, they post things from Twitter on Facebook.
Right.
Going like, hey, look what's going on. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Black Lives Matter and stuff, right? I mean, it's an organizational tool. It does help people to find each other and to find causes and find information and stuff like that. Not feel like they're alone. They're screaming into the void.
I guess there are people that do focus on Twitter, and that's their thing.
It's so funny, though, because I feel like I can post something on Facebook, and I get couple hundred likes, and then I'm just saying
I'm gonna fact check that.
Go ahead and check that engagement. Go ahead and check my engagement.
Those don't count.
The picture where he's on the bearskin rug in the fireplace. You know, like it's like,
dude, you got like 200.
I only had a second baby and got married again just to get my like count up. That's all I did it because I knew it would just skyrocket.
But yeah, but I feel like I do the same thing on Twitter and literally. Nothing. I mean, like three likes, maybe, but it's, I don't know if it just falls into this feed or maybe I don't have enough followers.
I haven't quite figured out the cracking. I think it's a couple of factors. One is it's less because it's a stream. Things are streaming by. It's not a wall post like Facebook where it's perpetuated there. But I think that, you know, the hashtags is what it's, you know, is an organizational tool, so you can find common causes and then or complaints. But then also, if you use it regularly, so if you're one of those people who are tweeting like every 10 minutes, you're going to develop a community of people who who you're interacting with over time. But
that's a
good
point.
I don't have that's not me. I don't have that time. And I don't have that.
I don't have that kind of like attention span to like sit there and be like, okay, I'm gonna do this every day for like you know, and just grow it.
Well, and some people, like, crack me up, what people think of as Twitter, what it does to you, because we've had in comedy, like, some people, like, they got, like, 60 likes on a day, and people started saying, like, oh my gosh, look at the comic, they're blowing up right now.
Right.
I'm like, it's a tweet. if you consider that is, like, Seattle comedy's blowing up because someone got a bunch of tweets one day. You need to reevaluate your idea of success.
Yeah,
It's the reward. It's the reward. It's that slight opiate release in your brain when someone likes something that you did. That's it's a reward.
It's the same people who
it really is.
Who go on stage and go like, you know what? I just believe in equal rights for everybody, and the whole crowd applauds, and they go like, did you see that applause break I got? I'm so funny.
Oh, like,
That's not an applause break. That's you figuring out a way to be able to take a drink for a little bit.
Yeah.
To say something everyone likes and you take a drink. People go, I'm blowing up. An applause break.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the, what was it? I think it was GOPDND
on
Twitter.
No.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, wait. You know what? I heard about that a long time ago and I loved it. And then I totally forgot to go back and start checking that out.
So it's, you know, just over the past week or whatever, they've been really, slamming the GOP.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. I mean, it's pretty funny. It's stuff like, you know, like, you know, GOPDM, you know, or, you know, player, like, I need a health potion. GOPDM is like, okay, that'll be 5,000 gold pieces. The player's like, we don't have 5,000 gold pieces. And GOPDM's like, no, but you have access to health potions.
That is hilarious.
That is awesome.
It's been so cool to watch that crash and burn.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Randy Henderson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The man, the myth, the legend.
There. Well, I've introduced already. Novelist, future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right? Future Hall of Famer.
Book
writer.
Yeah.
Do you, is your third novel published?
Yes.
Third published novel.
Yep. Smells Like Finn Spirit.
Nice. There you go. So were you a Nirvana fan growing up?
I was. Yeah,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. My wife, she was a huge Nirvana fan.
Was she?
Yeah, she loved it. To Kurt Cobain.
I would not have gotten married to one.
Yeah.
Right there.
I was like, oh, yeah. Shoot me.
What, you, a necromancer novel, right?
Well, technically. It's basically humorous urban fantasy. So it's set in Port Townsend here in Washington.
Okay.
Small seaside town. So it's not really like big city like Chicago, like Dresden Files or anything like that. But
the urban setting of Port Sound.
That's just how they slot things, right? Like, is it an epic fantasy or is it an urban fantasy? They don't really have, you know, small seaside town fantasy is not a genre, right?
Yeah. Yet. So,
humorous, you know, humorous contemporary fantasy is basically what it is. It's like, it's got a lot of jokes, a lot of 80s and 90s humor.
Nice.
He's a necromancer just because I didn't want him to have, like, to be able to throw fireballs and just get out of situations really easily. I wanted to have, like, the lamest power ever, which is, you know, I can talk to dead people. you know, so how useful is that when you're in a battle and that kind of stuff? So, and then he has this, like, dysfunctional family whole dynamic. I was watching a lot of Arrested Development when I was
writing the first book.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So it's not autobiographical?
It's not. No. absolutely not.
So I was wondering what, like, people are, if J.R. Tolkien, like, if he was, like, if he was going on, like, the Daily Show and everywhere, the Today Show to talk about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But they'd be like, so is it autobiographical? Like, what? What's wrong? Yeah. Back when I was I went to destroy the ring.
With little people.
Yeah. You know, people tried to nail it down, like the Lord of the Rings. Like, was it a World War One commentary and that kind of stuff?
But. Right. So Finn Fancy. So I love the name. Like, how'd you come up with that?
I don't know. Finn Fancy Necromancy. It was originally Finn Fancy Necromancy Pants, and my editor was like, "Let's get rid of the pants." I'm like, "Okay." It's just something his brother calls him, like, to make fun of him. But, yeah.
When is this the third one? It's part of the trilogy?
Yeah, so it's it's a trilogy, basically.
And do you feel like, did you set out for a trilogy? Or was
No. I didn't even set out to write the Fin Fantasy novel to begin with. I was just taking a break. I was writing, like, all of these heavy, epic fantasy things and, thinking I was George R. R. Martin. And I was burned out on that, so I wrote Fin Fantasy just for fun. I wrote the opening to that just for fun, like to have, giant meteors falling on my head. I'm snarking. I'm making 80s jokes. I'm, like, doing magic. Why am I doing this? I don't know. You know, basically the character was me with magic.
Nice.
I was taking a break, basically just trying to reconnect with that joy of writing and of fantasy and magic. And then an editor read that opening chapter and said, I'll read this book when you're done with it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to write this book. That's how I ended up writing that book. And
so crazy how things work out. It's like the thing that you don't expect is the thing that, you know, gets you there.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Is it more fun now than what you were doing before? Yeah.
I've really enjoyed the Fin Fantasy, but it was interesting. So the first book, I had as long as I wanted to write that book. I wrote it over about a year and a half. But then when she said she'd buy it, my editor, she said she wanted to buy a series. So I was like, so now I had to think up more books after this one. And then basically I was on a book a year deadline. But what really that means is after you take away the time that you're editing the last book and you go on book tour and you do all these other things, like I had like 6 months to conceive, write, revise, have a finished book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was a challenge, but I feel good about it. I had fun, and I'm living the dream, being a published author, being able to go around and meet people and sign books and all of that.
Heck yeah, man.
It was a challenge and a lot of lessons learned, but I feel like I've really grown as a writer and as a person.
So on your third book, does that mean have you been able to leave the day jobs now?
No. No. As in with most arts, it doesn't pay well unless you are sort of the breakout star. You know, most actors don't make a lot of money unless you become like one of the billionaire movie stars. So.
Right.
But
I figured there must be a level of like where you're I can get comfortable.
Yes, I can. My goal is like in 7 years or so to have achieved that point. You basically, unless you have like a really huge breakout book, if you are able to turn out stuff on a regular basis, you essentially build kind of a library of books of your own that you've written, and you get, and if they are selling somewhat, the money trickles in from each of those. Plus, with each book, you build your audience, so each book sells more and more.
Right.
So I think over time, if you're persistent and you're able to write things that sell, even moderately, over time you can sort of reach that point where you're able to eke through. And a lot of writers do a lot of extra, like they do teaching on the side and write things for hire and write articles and write all of that kind of stuff to like supplement the income. But I don't want to do that. I don't want writing to be my job.
Yeah.
I want it to be my joy.
But do you want to get rid of the job though?
I mean,
how do you get rid of the job? How do you get? That's a good question.
First of all,
how do you get rid of?
I love my employer.
Right. But like, how do you get rid of? This is just as an artist question in general.
Yeah, because we're always talking about
how do you quit the job?
Right.
Do your joy.
Yeah.
Make money at it and still have joy from it.
Right. Yeah. I think it's. I think you just have to get to that. Probably have to get to that point where there's not the stress. Like, there isn't. I have to get this done by the end of this month in order to pay the rent.
Right.
Even though I feel like it needs 4 months and I really need, so as long as you're able to still, you get to a point where you're doing what you want to do because you can, not because you have to. Probably.
Yeah.
I wonder if Patton Oswalt, okay. So like he was in Seattle recently, him performing at a comedy show, like if that's his joy,
right?
Where that's what he likes to do. He happens to make money doing that,
mm-hmm.
but his work, his job, is television. Right. Like where he, you know, he's famous for doing it. Like, but he, now he gets to do like now he gets to pick and choose projects that he wants to do. But maybe that's like his.
But I also think it's different if you're making like $20,000 a weekend as opposed to, you know.
Right. But I'm like, but there's probably a point of, I mean, if it becomes your job, right? Yeah, yeah. But it's still going to be like, well, it's work.
Yeah.
It's my work.
I mean, that's how I felt with, you know, with comedy for a while. It was just like it was paychecks after a while. It was like, okay, this is paying really well. So let me go ahead and what are you looking for? Trying to.
He's gone on a quest.
Something's buzzing.
No. Wait, did it not go out for you?
No.
Oh, my headset's going out.
Oh, okay. You just tap it.
Tap that ass. I thought it was like, I was like, oh, it's the whole thing. I figured, oh, I can't hear myself. That must be the way the rest of the world is acting. you tell me my reality is not.
Yeah,
everyone else's reality.
Yeah,
that
be.
Doesn't even make sense.
You know, so we are like where business meets the hobby. Like we're doing Microsoft on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be awful, I'm sure. Like
for him, because he has to follow me.
Yeah,
so. I'm going to blow up my 10 minutes. That's all I know.
So every now and then we'll do these corporate gigs where it's like nobody pays attention to you. You have to be up there for 30 minutes
uh-huh.
talking, and you know they're walking around drinking. At least this one will be better. I think we'll be in front of an actual audience, but we'll see, man. I don't know. It's going to war with these
what
people.
They do. They just are they supposed to be interacting with each other?
Nah, so we're going to be in the club this time, but most times you're just out in like on a dance floor and people are walking around drinking, watching TV, not uh-huh. paying attention to you. So
what was it that you're doing that they're not paying attention to?
Just telling jokes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
stand-up comedy.
Yeah, stand-up comedy. Gotcha. Man.
Where they should just have some guy with a guitar playing, probably.
Exactly, right? So
I mean,
basically, I just
don't
narrate
do that.
The party.
Don't do that. Yeah. Just hire a comedian.
Yes. But, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, this guy looks like he has money, and then I'll just like talk to people, and like they'll like look at me for 2 seconds, and they'll walk off, and I'm like, I'm going to cut myself after this.
Okay. Until you get the check, and then you're like, okay.
Then I'm like,
all right,
I'm back. I'm back.
The pain tells me I'm real.
So last night I went to my cousin's birthday.
Okay.
She had a birthday party at Carnation.
Okay.
We went to Camlin. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
No.
It's like a medieval village.
Oh, okay.
Like it runs mostly in the summer, like, but they on Saturday and Sunday they're always open. Their restaurant is
right.
open. And we went last night. If you do reservations, you can get the other nights.
Right.
So we had a reservation. So there was 13 of us that went. And it's – you go into this like – I mean, it feels like you're walking into like a Lord of the Rings hall like
right.
to go eat. And so
but more like the porn version of Lord of the Rings because all the wigs are really bad and
right.
no.
the women have like really scanty. Like,
yeah, they're like really busty.
No, this is like, okay, so they only had like, we had the guy, the host,
uh-huh.
and then there was a couple cooks in back and I think his daughter was one of them, but
okay.
like, because they came out and sang happy birthday. Really awkward.
I'm picturing like
funny.
Cable guy. Like,
yeah, right, yeah.
It made me think of Dwight Schrute from The Office. Like uh-huh. if he,
okay.
like him running his farm and doing a themed event, how
yeah.
they would come out and be, I mean, the guy wasn't as awkward that, but he was definitely seemed a little flighty and old.
Right.
Like and he's talking to you. Like they say, it's the moment you step on the ground, you're living in it's 1386.
Okay.
And so they're going to live like, and everything you eat,
yeah.
is from the time period. You eat the way they did. So they gave us these thing called our plates were called trenchers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're pieces of bread
right.
that are like a big giant bun that's cut in half, and that's your plate.
Yeah.
Because back then, I guess they didn't use plates. You would use a piece of bread
oh, okay.
as your plate.
Oh wow.
They also
if
didn't
you
use
had
homogenization or
pasteurization. We had a spoon
like
and we had a spoon and a knife. They used
okay.
forks.
Okay.
They didn't use forks, really.
Right.
And then they would serve these platters at a time, sort
right.
of family style that you're eating.
Did you call people wenches and stuff like that?
Well, I usually do, so it wasn't really different. But, like, he's speaking to us in Gar. And then he came out and played music. He was the minstrel, too.
Oh, okay.
And it was just really odd. He's like, this song, it will have some riddles in it. And
right.
the riddles that you, they would, these are riddles that lovers would give to each other while they were outside and
right.
Talking. And so maybe you can solve them well in your head when I play. And so he starts playing this I don't know what the instrument is. It's a guitar-like, mandolin-like type thing. But it was horrible sounding, you know. And he's singing. But all Renaissance people, like, they sing badly, right? Yeah. If you go to Ren Faire.
And the last person to solve the riddle is the one who will leave here alive.
But it was crazy. Like, he's singing this, and we're all like, okay, we kind of want to just talk, but like, oh, the guy's entertaining us. I don't know. Okay, I guess I should listen, because you can almost sense that he's getting offended when you start like losing a little interest in it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, okay, we'll watch and eat our. You're just eating my cheese. Okay, there you go. And then he leaves after this. Or then the second song was the answers to the riddle.
Oh, okay.
In case you hadn't solved them yet.
Right.
And then he went back to go cook some more.
And this was what your cousin chose.
Yes. For. Yeah. Wow. But you know what? The food was interesting. Like, it was like, okay, interesting it was taste.
It's
like,
an experience,
it was
right?
Oh, so yeah.
You have a memory. And you have
but it. Look, you're not allowed to take pictures in the place, too. No photographs.
Really?
Yeah. They want to keep it like a mystery kind of. Okay. And I kind of want to go there on the weekend when they are doing like, I guess they're having a Lenten festival this weekend for Lent time. So there's a bunch of stuff that goes on. And you sometimes they do like horse jousting and other activities.
So funny. When he said horse, like, and you did the motion, it looked like you were beating
like horse
the
jacket
horse.
Off.
I was like, what?
Sometimes you go jack a horse off. Look, that's what they did in the 1380s. Don't be judgmental, Manny. That's how we
got. You know what you should do? You should wear those glasses, but you know, the one with the camera in the middle of it.
I was thinking about that. I was like, I want some pictures of this place. Yeah. I'm going to like come in with a different. I won't be able to see. They'll be like, why can't you see? I don't know. My glasses aren't working.
That would be awesome.
Snap in some pictures so I can get. But it looks really good. Like, right. You feel like this is set back from time. Mm-hmm. And when you drive up there, you're just driving. And I thought I had the address wrong.
So I'm
like,
the
these are kind of residential places.
Okay.
Going by houses, but you know, each house is like.
Yeah.
10 acres.
Is this
or whatever.
Somebody's garage or something? Or?
No. It's a village.
Oh, wow.
They built
so they
a
have
village
property.
On land.
It takes a village.
Yes. Yes. It's amazing. When
I bet
you walk
they have
in
like
there.
A Zelda land like that. Something where people are just playing Zelda, like
dude,
real life.
Shut up.
Yeah. And I was going to say that would be like,
you need to shut that up and
that.
Go do that.
Go
license
that.
That.
I'm sure people to come do
oh
it.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. That would be wonderful.
Right?
A Zelda land?
And, wow. Until Nintendo shuts you down.
I know,
like,
yeah.
Where's our money?
Oh, license it from them.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Be like, this is actually Helda land. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Helda. You're Bink. And we're going to, yeah.
You're Bink. So let me ask you this: with the Finn Fancy, like, what would the perfect like? Would you ever do a movie deal for it?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Like,
seriously, I would do. Any, you know, I don't even care. Like, you can if they did like a TV show and then like said, well, but you know. We like your concept, but we're gonna mix it up some and whatever. We're gonna have Carrot Top in the lead and stuff. I'd be like, that's cool. Give me the paycheck, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean there's a certain
Sci-Fi Channel originals?
Yeah. Oh god, yes. Right. So there's a certain amount of I would obviously love to see it realized on the screen in a good way. Mm-hmm. But I think that way lays madness. Like,
right.
If I, you know, trying to, if someone were to buy it and if I were to, like, worry about how they were going to realize my work and have, because you have no real control over it. And,
right.
Would you have a problem optioning it to somebody for someone else to write a screenplay with it? Or would you be like, fine, whatever.
Give me the money.
All right.
Show me the money.
Dude, that's awesome. You know, I've always wondered that. It's like, how attached to a project as an author, you know what I mean? Like, so even with like Game of Thrones, I've never really watched it, but you know, he's just cranking out these you know books, and it's like, is he even
passionate?
I think
cranking is pretty generous with him.
what do you mean?
Because he doesn't crank because they're so slow on coming out.
Well, I mean, what season are they on now?
I don't know.
They're past the books.
They're past the books.
Past the
like,
books. They're wrapping it up. This is going to be the final season. For the show. Yeah.
No.
Really?
I believe so.
No, I think there's two more.
All right.
Is there?
Please?
I don't know. I thought this was the last one.
What?
You're probably right.
But, and I think that, he's going to Google
this. Yeah, all right. He's going to Snopes it.
I need to know if I'm going to cry or not.
You know, I mean, there's two thoots there. Like, you know, they're kind of they've gone ahead of where he is with the books, right? So some people are like, I'm not going to watch the show until I've read the book kind of thing. And I don't want it spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, you know, as the author, I'd be like, no, you go ahead and tell me what, and then I can just write it. And
yeah.
It makes it easy. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it's an interesting case where they've gotten ahead of where he's actually.
Yeah. So, like, okay, perfect scenario. So probably big screen would probably be ideal, right, for you? Or would you do, like, an HBO, like, or, like, would you do a Netflix-type series if you could do it perfect?
I think Finn Fantasy would best fit as, like, a Netflix,
comedy.
It's sort of Dresden Files meets Adam's Family. Or Arrested Development kind of.
Nice.
So a weekly, like, show where it's a mix of, you know, you have your weekly mystery and magic conundrum mixed with whatever family drama is going on problem. Yeah,
I like that. So, with doing like your book signings and stuff, have you had any like crazy fans who just like? Well, actually, you probably can't say that online because they're probably listening.
I've been very lucky for the most part. There was There have been a couple where they came up and they were a little awkward and like were like, I really like necromancy, you know, and made me a little bit like uncomfortable. But for the most part, it's all been wonderful.
That's cool.
I've been very lucky.
Yeah. I've only had one like comedy stalker and that's
just one.
Just one. And it gets a little awkward and it's like, I'm like, are you going to kill me? Or is this like, you know what I mean? I don't know. She's nice, but it's at the same time, I'm like.
Wait, still getting stuff?
Yeah, what's up?
Are you still getting stuff?
Yeah, I guess she'll show up to the club and just be like, is Manny here? And then they're like, no, he's not here this weekend. Okay, and then she'll just leave. So weird.
Wow.
Yeah,
really. They tell you.
Yeah, they're like, she's going to make a Manny coat out of you.
Are you?
Just like, zip it up.
Do you ever tell him just say no? Just say he's not.
Usually I do, but I mean, I kind of feel like she's harmless and like people they just need to be nice to. I don't know.
Manny puts the lotion on the skin or he gets the hose again.
That's going to be the name of my next album.
Okay, I just confirmed. We're entering season 7 of Game of Thrones. They're going to end after season 8, but they're both short seasons.
So, like, what?
So it's going to feel like.
Like 7 episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bullshit.
Oh, well,
I'm calling bullshit
stretching
on that.
Yeah,
well, I mean, everything must come to an end, unless you're Star Trek.
Yeah, but it's just weird that they just shortened it.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly, like, well, we want to do less work.
Yeah.
Well, they've got less material. I mean, all they have are his, like, high-level notes. This is kind of what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Versus before, they had, like, turning a book, especially a book as thick as one of George R. R. Martin's, into anything is a challenge, right? Because everything that is in a book takes 10 times as long to depict on screen because you have a lot of internal stuff going on.
And yeah.
They have to figure out how.
Do you have enough nudity in your books to be on HBO?
alas, probably not. A little.
So it has to go to Netflix, right?
There's a little bit of Knocking Boots in like book 2 and
yeah.
3, but not a lot.
Not enough HBO or Showtime quality.
Netflix. Trying to think of Netflix. Do they have much? Do they show much on their shows?
Not really. Not a lot of nudity. I mean,
they don't hide it, but I mean, it feels like they don't.
I don't think I've ever seen any nudity on Netflix.
I don't think I've seen boobies.
Oh, okay. I mean, maybe I'm thinking more HBO Westworld.
I'm thinking
West
Sense8. Sense8, like
Sense8. Oh, okay.
You know, you open with pretty great sex scene right there.
You know what?
And then
no.
I say pretty great sex scene. But yeah. I mean, pretty you know,
pretty great scene. Oh, it's pretty great sex scene.
Let me just clarify that. What I mean is,
I was gonna say the OA.
Pretty explicit is mm-hmm. the word that I was looking for. There.
Yeah, the the OA had that opening scene where they're in. He's trying to.
Wow. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It was like Cinemax, like late night.
Yeah.
What I meant by great. No, seriously, what I meant by great was it was basically between a lesbian and a transgender woman.
Oh, okay.
So it's like they're
breaking the barriers.
And it's not your typical, like, you know.
That's cool. I like that.
Vanilla.
Right. I wondered because it's. Well, I guess it's not easier. I was thinking, like, Netflix is easier to access for anybody, so, like, if kids would be able to. But I'm like, well, I guess HBO
is. There's also, like,
parental
controls, though, on Netflix.
Is there?
Yeah. You can do, there's a kids version, and then there's.
Well, I have kids version, but sometimes she just clicks on mine because it's easier to get to.
Which
I made up the kids so I'm like, you stop looking up kids shows on my account.
Right. So that's
annoying.
Because it starts flooding your, like,
yeah,
what
it's
you
like,
watch last.
Oh, looks like you might like Dory. I'm like, no, I look like a weirdo.
Look
like Dory and Debbie Loves Dallas.
Right.
One of these two. What?
So, Randy, let me ask you this. Star Trek fan, clearly, right?
Yeah.
So,
he showed up, those of you who can't see, which is everybody.
Yep.
He had a Starfleet jacket on, which I appreciate.
So, what would be your favorite, series of Star Trek, if you had to choose one?
Oh, let's see. they're all great for different reasons.
Yeah,
so it's
hard.
It's impossible. I mean, I love the original series because that's what I grew up with.
They're all great.
And Kirk is I would say they're all
Enterprise.
Enterprise kind of had a rough start, but season two was awesome. I thought, and
I think
I mean, it has its issues, but it found its. It's footing in it.
See, there you go, Silas. So why you got to hate on everything, man? Just because you're not a part of it?
What?
Would you? Okay.
It's sad that they, like, ended it because they were really getting into, like, some of the xenophobia stuff that would, like, it's kind of relevant today.
Yeah.
You know, their protectionism and Earth First kind of stuff.
I just hate they had a character named Tucker who had a southern accent.
Okay.
Very southern accent.
Yeah.
And then suddenly when the Xeni attacked Earth. It hit Florida and killed his family.
Oh, okay.
Where he's from.
Yeah. Right.
In Florida.
With his accent.
With his southern accent that was like Alabama.
Some people have southern accents.
Yeah, over there.
No, but southern, he was like, I've southern clearly been made a choice of a different kind. And suddenly you just say, I'm from there. It doesn't make any sense. Like, things like that would just be like,
your character development.
Don't really,
it's a little known fact, but the southern accent is actually propagated out through Waffle Houses. Like, you walk into a Waffle House, if you don't have a southern accent, by the time you leave, you do. It's just this weird phenomenon. It's one of the hash brown options, in fact. Like, you know, there's smothered, there's capped, there's with, you know.
Can I get an accent?
Get an accent, yeah. Hash browns with accent.
So. Oh, man. That is hilarious.
What are you saying? What? Okay. Have you ever been disappointed by a series?
Let's see.
That you loved.
That I loved.
And then they bring something in, and
or
does
Darkwing
just everything
Duck
work out for?
Like,
I don't know. What do you watch?
I watch. I mean, now. I mean, I got to see what happens in the Stranger Things season two. Maybe I'll be disappointed. Maybe OA season two. I'll be disappointed. I just started binging on Netflix.
You need a world.
I do. I'm trying not to,
like Stargate or something.
Yeah. You know, oh, I'll tell you what I was disappointed in. Okay, there's this game. It was called Mass Effect 3.
I've never heard of it.
Okay, yeah. For those of you out there who haven't.
You were disappointed?
The ending to it just sucked. It was
I don't think I got to the ending. You know, it's funny. I thought I had finished.
Yeah.
I apparently only finished two. And I think I started 3 when the baby came.
Oh,
and
then you never
finished it. And I forgot, like, I tried to play it.
Just
and
pretend
then
like it never happened.
I got.
Yeah.
But I was told by somebody told me he thinks it's the most underrated game. Like, he says he loved
the 3. Game was fun. I just didn't like
said
the ending. It just, like, it's, especially as a trilogy.
Did you buy the new one?
No, I feel like I'm on Zelda and I just got to leave that shit alone.
Got to finish it.
I got to finish. Zelda is so, like, massive, though, that I'm not going to be able to.
Ever finish it? Can you ever finish it?
And there's going to be downloadable content. There's all these, like...
It has a story, right?
It's, like, bigger than Grand Theft Auto, I think. Like, as
really?
Far as, like, the world. Like, it's just massive.
You have all these mini games, too, to go
mini
play?
Mini games and all kind of, like, dungeons, and they're going to just keep adding content. I'm telling you, man. I don't know why
what?
You sold it to me. That was...
I gotta. I'm trying to keep your comedy game down.
Yeah,
so
exactly. So you can try to get some of these.
Be
like
sorry,
games.
I can't make it tonight. I got Zelda. You call Silas. I don't
it's
know.
So funny because I had this audition for this Kevin Hart thing, and I literally was like, I really don't want to leave the house.
You're like, oh, I'm in the middle of the Zelda
thing. And I was like, you know. And then everybody was like, dude, you should totally like see if you can get on it. And I think it was already full. And then I was like. All right, let me just message the person. And then I got on, and there were people who were getting denied. I was like, I feel like an ass.
And now they know.
Now they know. So, sorry, guys. I'm a horrible human being.
You're just too funny.
I'm too funny. I have too many connections in the world.
It's
so.
Well,
just so hard being so funny.
Probably, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. You know, it's funny. I was thinking, like, oh, that.
Manny. Manny's funny.
Yeah.
I
don't think we've established this.
It was an event. I don't know. I was kind of like, is this like. This isn't exactly Last Comic Standing.
No.
I'm looking for people. Like, I kind of felt like it was, like, they, you know, they picked some solid comics.
Yeah.
And some, you know who you are. right? I mean, you know, good for them, but yeah, I was kind of like, but it's at,
yeah,
it's at this weird little place. It's not like,
well, that's kind of, I guess, what the developers of this show, Comedy Central, were looking for. They wanted a kind of a gritty, they didn't want the A club. They wanted to see who were the guys who were, like, I guess, striving at the littler, you know, at the smaller clubs and doing
this. It just felt like they weren't.
Yeah, the up and coming. Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't. It just felt like they weren't.
They were looking for diamonds in the rough, I guess.
Right, but who was picking them? It felt like it was picked because this guy shared a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, when he shared it, and people were like, oh, do this. This guy. Because there was a whole number of people who don't have TV credits.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I don't think were. See, I have a TV credit, so I'm not eligible. Mm-hmm. But, just throwing that out there. But, like, there's a bunch of people who I thought should have been on there, but I was mm-hmm. like, how did nobody.
But I also wonder if.
Know about them.
I also wonder if it was something along the lines of, you know, he's seen them do well at these shows. And so he's like, oh, yeah, they deserve a spot on this mm-hmm. showcase.
Because there's a whole bunch of people up in the Seattle, because there was a lot of Tacoma
and folks maybe that's
who go down there a lot. Yeah.
But, you know,
want the Seattle.
It's also a little grittier, I would say, down in Tacoma. This was actually like.
I know, but there's some Seattle there's some really good. I think could have been on there.
Trust me, yeah, there's.
Experience, and they have solid 10.
But here's the thing is that they didn't really know probably the producer of the show. Sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know.
That's true.
So, I mean, but not that there won't be a season 2 with Seattle or something. Or,
and there's a lot of these auditions happening. It's not just Seattle. Yeah. So. Somebody posted, they're like, I'll let you know the results when they announce them. I'm like, they ain't announcing shit. It's a TV show. They're just going to, like, how, if they like someone, they call him and say, hey, come do this. Yeah. It's not.
So.
But people.
But they did say he's working on, like, 4 or 5 different projects right now. So it's kind of on the back burner.
Yeah. When I tried to Google to find out about it, I couldn't find any info about it at all.
And that's the thing. That's one of the reasons I didn't even post about it. Like, people were like, oh, I didn't even know you were on this. I was like, well, because it may not happen. I've seen millions of things, you know. It's not a done deal until it's on, you know, TV. So,
like,
I don't know.
I had this audition the other day as a slam poet. That's what I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, like, medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart disease.
Right.
And I did it. I practiced it. I went out there and I did it.
Yeah.
And I did, like, oh, I got that.
Yeah.
And then the director's like, okay, could you do that again, but with, like, more energy? I'm like, oh, okay. I thought I did. In my head, I'm like, oh, shit, I thought I did. So, and he's like, you know, try projecting a little bit. I'm like, oh. And so then I did it really big. And then he's like, okay, well, can you do it again now? But, like, make, like, conversational, kind of like, but still keep that confidence. And, you know, I did it. And then he's like, do you want to? I was like, okay. Do you want to do it any way you want to try it? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. And I just, like, I didn't know what to do because I'm like, I don't know what he's looking for.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. So I'm like, I should have said yes and tried something, but I was just afraid I would try and not do it different at all and be like, this guy sucks
You know what that reminds me of? Like, there was an episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns is, he's coaching, like, a softball team. And he gets, like, all these, like, pro athletes to play, and none of the guys from the power plant are actually playing. And he keeps Mr. Burns keeps yelling at this one player. He's like, "I thought I told you to shave those sideburns." And by the end of it, he, like, has the sideburns shaved off and, like, everything else, eyebrows are shaved or whatever. And it's just like, it's hard sometimes. You don't know what people are talking about. They could tell you to walk a straight line, and they're like, you didn't really walk the way I needed you to.
Yeah.
So.
And it was, it's a lot of rejection, Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been rejected.
That's the industry.
I've been rejected a lot without a paycheck right now lately. I've been like, I need to land one of these stupid things so I don't. Because now I'm just going there, like, not giving a fuck. Like, whatever, I don't get it.
That's kind of how I'm annoyed felt going to this audition, because I was like, how many NBCs didn't I get, you know what I mean? Like Stanford Diversity, Last Comic. I'm like, I'm not gonna get this either, so it's just have fun, whatever. But I mean, that's gotta be the way with books too. It's like
the way with every art, you know, if you're an actor, dancer, painter, writer, singer, you know, it's persistence and you have to just believe in yourself
and in your
art and just keep honing it and practicing it.
See, I've always thought that that's gotta be the hardest thing, right? Because you could have written the perfect book. And it's like, this is where my heart and soul is. You know what I mean? And then it's like, this was okay. You know, and you're like, what the hell? You know what I mean? And
that's often the case. Yeah. Like before I wrote these novels, I was primarily writing short stories.
Right.
And, you know, the short stories that I absolutely loved and thought were, like, brilliant and the mm-hmm. best thing ever. No one, they just got rejected the fastest. And then, like, the ones I just, like, was like, oh, this is a stupid idea, and I just knock it off in, like, a day.
Right.
And then that one would sell. And I'm like, what? Come on, man. And then I'm like, it's weird because, you know, that's what's out there. Then that's what gets published, so that's what people read. And I'm like, but right. I have this really good stuff, and that doesn't represent, like, that doesn't represent what I can really do. I swear.
I am as a person.
Yeah. I feel that way about writing jokes sometimes. It's like, you'll write something so, like, articulate, funny, and you're like, this is going to be the best. And you tell it, and it gets, you know, a mediocre response, but then you tell some dumb, like, dick joke, and then everybody's like, that was revolutionary, man. I'm like, oh, God, what am I doing with my life? So
that's like, that's every day. Every day, I'm in a slump. And really, I'm like, I just need to hit something that I believe in.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, man.
It kills me. I forget what it was. I posted on Facebook, and I started messaging Manny. I was getting mad because I was getting too many likes.
Wait, what was it?
I forget what it was. It was just some stupid thing I felt like thought for him. Like,
Yeah.
And then so I'm like, why is this getting a reaction? What about that other joke earlier? That was fucking brilliant. That was a brilliant joke. Yeah. It was well crafted. It was perfect.
It's crazy how we gauge our like self-worth on these likes. You know what I mean? It's like
ones that I think are gonna do well, I'm like, okay, I posted and like, oh, let me copy that, put it in my notebook here.
Right.
And let me put on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is gonna be good.
We brought it around full circle.
And then these ones I don't even bother copying. Right. I don't bother copy it.
Yeah.
I just put it up there and I don't bother and it gets like 60 likes. I'm like, I didn't even think that was worthy of my notebook. Like, I didn't want that permanently around.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Randy. What was your inspiration growing up to like start really writing and or books that you really liked?
Yeah. I went to a performing arts high school.
Oh, okay.
The girls that I liked, they were into poetry and writing and stuff.
That's awesome.
It's always about women.
It really is.
I think that was probably, I mean, looking, honestly looking back, I think that was like a major influence. I mean, obviously, there were many things. Like, one of the earliest memories I have is my grandmother telling me, you know, that how great I was because I was able to read this book so young.
Yeah.
You know, so all those little positive reinforcements, you know, I got a lot of positive feedback from teachers on the things that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoyed writing, and I was a total nerd growing up, you know. So I lost myself in books, you know.
That's cool.
And so as a voracious reader and mm-hmm. someone who just truly loved the genre, I wanted to participate in it more fully and write my own stuff, you know. So all of those things were influences. The cute chicks who like, dig the poetry. I wrote some bad poetry for them. Man, some bad poetry for them. And,
Randy's so sensitive.
Like, I wonder if you have this like me. I actually became a decent writer in college, and it was so funny because we had this crazy hard teacher who was like, everybody's like writing your shit and blah blah blah. Except for one exceptional student in the class. And I was like, oh, who's this asshole? And he was like, Mr. Martin. And I was like, oh, God, it's me. And I was like, what did I do different? But I would get to the point where I'd become obsessive about how I would structure a sentence. And I was like, okay, I want to start this one with ing, or I want to start this one with ly. And he just loved that I would just like completely like kill myself over just different sentence structure and then like paragraphs. And
most people are lazy.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, in the end, I think that's why, like, you stood out. Like, I stood out, and I don't feel like I should have, but I was just obsessive about certain things.
Right, writing. Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I always think of, like, sometimes I think of us as, like, oh, well, we're writers, too, because we write stuff. But I'm like, well, you're, like, a writer.
Yeah.
Like, we're a writer. I was like, I was a good writer. I'm like, you're probably a better writer.
Yeah. Do you ever stress over, like, sentence structure or any paragraphs, or you just kind
of
just write?
Not as much as I probably should. I think a lot of it I absorbed just reading so much. You sort of absorb through osmosis.
Like, yeah, kind of the styles.
What sounds right for a sentence and what sounds right for a paragraph, you know, feels right for a paragraph and dialogue and stuff like that. But I think it still takes, you know, time and honing your craft. And I went, you know, reading books on it and workshops and stuff like that. But
are you getting any pressure to like write another Fin Fancy book?
Not pressure. I mean, there are people, you know, the readers regularly ask me if there's going to be another one.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to money.
Yeah.
For the publisher, basically, are the first three books going to sell well enough that they want to invest in a fourth one? Basically.
Right.
And actually, I would love to play more in the Finn universe, but I've kind of moved on. I'm like working on a new thing now, and I'm really excited about that.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's sort of like if I come back to Finn, it's like so it's not one of those things where like I'm just waiting to hear if they're gonna want another Finn book, and I'm please do another Finn book.
Yeah,
it's more of you know. If things work out, they want to publish another Finn book, then great. And if they don't, it could very well be that in a couple of years, you know, people will ask it enough that it'll be itching at the back of my brain enough that I'll just write something and self-publish it, or publish it through another press, that kind of thing.
Definitely. But I love that, you know, you can use it as a launching pad for this next project of yours. That sounds exciting. So when are you expecting this next project to...
I'm still writing it. I haven't run it by my editor yet, so it's not a done deal. It's not like it hasn't sold yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a contract for it. But, in an ideal world, I'll finish it towards the end of summer, and they would buy it, and then and it would probably – so what is this, 2017? Traditional publishing is like this really long cycle, so it would probably come out like sometime in the early 2019 or something
like
that.
No joke.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
How do you find the time? Like, between, if you have a regular job, Netflix, how do you find the time to sit down and write? Is it hard, or is it because you love it so much?
Because it's what I love to do. I love, you know, there's that thing where I'm wandering around. And I'm like, turn on the TV, but that doesn't feel like what I want to be doing. I'll try to play a little video game, but I'm just not feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, what do I want to be doing? And then it's like, I want to be writing. You know, that's what I want to be doing.
When I feel like that, I just end up eating.
I can't play video games like I used to. It's like maybe 30-minute increments. And
I'm like, I feel like dissatisfied watching TV. I don't know if I like this, or video game. And then like, I bet I should eat something. And that's how I end up. And then I'm like, why am I so fat?
Dude, yeah. But I feel exactly like you, where it feels like I'm just wasting time if I'm not doing this creative outlet.
I've reached this point where I'm really like, that's my biggest pet peeve is like wasted time. I'm like, I could be writing. Like if I'm just sitting in traffic, or I'll listen to audiobooks if I can, but you know, I'm like, I could be writing right now.
Do you ever like use your phone or any other type of like devices to maybe just take down notes like while you're instead of typing?
I tried a couple times to like record myself, like just and they're embarrassing. Like me just talking along, like because it's a lot of ums and trying to like think up things as I'm doing. I need to write. It's just I need to be that process, but. But I have this theory called of Brainergy, where or not a theory, but it's how I phrase it is basically I write when I have the most Brainergy.
Mm-hmm.
That's because that's my priority.
Okay.
Like so when I'm freshest and I'm feeling most creative, and then as my Brainergy goes, the battery gets low and I'm struggling, then I'll move on to maybe some revisions or research and stuff like that doesn't require as much, but it's still towards my craft. And then when I get really brain dead, that's when I get on Twitter or Facebook, and then and then I'll take a nap, and then I'll like spend some quality time with the wife and do other things.
So funny that the wife is the last thought.
I'm just messing with you. The schedule. I mean, she works during the day.
Yeah.
And, so we don't see each other till the evening.
Is she a creative too?
Yes, she is. She's a writer, and she does audiobooks. She's doing the audiobooks for Annie Belay's 20-Sided Sorceress series right now. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Man, how do you get into the audio world like that?
She did it through she basically started. She recorded a story, I believe, and then she had written a story that got published by Everyday Fiction, this online magazine. They asked her if she wanted to go ahead and do the audio for it, I think. And then she did it, and they basically were like, they didn't have an audio manager, basically. Mm. So she ended up volunteering for that, and it was an opportunity for her to, every like week, she recorded a story and kind of learn the process of it all.
Right.
And she used the free audio editing software, but
Audacity,
that's it. Audacity, and just a little blue ball mic, I think, or whatever it's called.
Blue ball mic,
what is it? Blue,
that is awesome.
Blue what is it? I don't know that, but anyway, and then but then she, you know, and then over time she's improved her equipment and improved the software and stuff like that. But for the most part, yeah, it was just a lot of self-teaching and getting out there and volunteering to do things for people. And then
that's good. I've met so many people who, like, some people who have good radio voices.
Yeah.
I'm like, you should try to get into voiceover. And they're like, I've always wanted to do that, but I don't know how. Like, how do you get into it? I'm like, well, I try to tell them, and then I've seen, and they don't. And sometimes I'm like, when people bring it up, I want to say, just fucking use Google. Go figure it out, dude. Yeah. Like, if you want to do it, I didn't know how to do a podcast. I figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, because I wanted to do it.
You can Google or YouTube pretty much anything if you really want
to. Or you sit someone down, like, hey, will you sit down with me and talk to me about this?
Yeah.
Because I want to do that. But I'm just getting to the point now that I'm like, I just realize people don't really want it.
Yeah.
Like, because they would ask me. Mm-hmm. Or they would ask me about how to do it. Like, I had one guy, he called me. He's like, can I talk to you? I want to get, you know, he still hasn't.
Yeah.
Our friend John Barnes.
Oh, okay.
And if you're listening, do your damn podcast. Because he talked to me like 30 minutes about how to set it up and what to do.
You,
like,
heard what happened to that guy, right?
Oh, he hurt his back.
Well, he got like hip, bro. He's got to maybe get a new knee or something like that. He could barely walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an old man.
And he was now, like the now, most fit guy.
Yeah, now his knees match his hairline.
Yeah, man.
Hey, God, John. I gotcha again. You can't fight back.
Oh, man.
He's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
He always had one of my favorite red shirt jokes. Star Trek red shirt jokes. He was like, he thought like terrorists, like, you know, they should like how come there's no that are like sci-fi fans?
Yeah.
And they should be like, when they send the guy out there to go commit, like, do a suicide bombing, like, here, wear this red shirt, it'll be funny. Just trust me. Just trust me a lot. And I was like, that's hilarious.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
Like, I never heard that
You
one.
Can be a terrorist and have a sense of humor. Like, right? Like, why not?
Jesus Christ.
what? That's kind of racist, Manny. You don't think a terrorist can have a sense of humor?
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, they don't joke about anything?
Terrorism. Comedy gold since 9/11.
Right.
Who was it? Family Guy had a really bad, like, terrorist one where they were talking about the guy who, like, didn't want to do the suicide bombing. And did you ever see that?
No.
It's bad. Anyways, it was funny to me. So.
Are you a big Family Guy fan?
I used to be. I mean, I just kind of stopped.
It just kept going.
Yeah, it just never ended. I don't know. Is it still going? Or
I think it still is.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess they offered him some crazy amount of money.
And you're like, well, I kind of got it.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that's where
you take it while you can.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's going to stop.
Simpsons still going since, what, Cosby days. So that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Episodes. 86 they've molested way less people.
Than, yeah.
Keep to the fictional characters. What's the longest running TV show you've watched?
Probably Simpsons.
Like, beginning to end. Like, do you still watch
it? Oh, no. WWF.
Did you ever watch?
I mean, it was.
Did you stay with it?
No, I stayed with it through the 90s, and then it was. I mean, so that's probably 7 years. If you think
okay.
About it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's why most shows only last 7. I wonder if that's the time lifespan of someone's attention.
Yeah,
like about 7 seasons, and then the audience is like, you know, I'm kind of tired of this too.
Well,
can everyone just quit?
You know how much can. There's certain, you know, your characters have to develop, right? And they have to, like, overcome certain challenges and grow as characters and whatever. And there's only so many ways you can do that and so much you can do that before you start running out of interesting storylines and you start bringing in Scrappy-Doo or whatever, right?
Yeah,
so yeah.
It's like, oh, no.
They're Scrappy-Dooing this motherfucker.
Oh, man. It's
like, ER. I did watch all of ER, but I kind of cheated. I had watched the first couple seasons.
Okay.
Stopped watching it because I went to college
or
something.
Then came back. And...
Well, and then I came back on syndication. I was like, I was working from home.
Yeah.
So awful. Like, this is me working at home. It was a problem. I would take breaks to go watch TV.
Right.
Like, I would like, no, I'm watching ER every day. So I would like go out and watch ER.
Yeah.
And I'd go back to work. You know what? Actually, that was probably the most productive business was.
Right.
Because I would take all these breaks to go watch these. I'd watched NYPD Blue.
Okay.
And so I caught up on all of those shows I caught up on completely, ER. But they came on every day, Monday through Friday. So I'd watch them every day. And then I would, you know. So that's the only way I caught up on it. It was like I couldn't keep up with it. It was like 13 15
seasons.
Years.
Oh, wow.
It was insane. Like, wow. Yeah.
So you were there through Clooney and.
Well, kind of. I went back to watch them all. So I'm watching them all that had happened years ago.
Yeah. And then they started doing different. No. Or was that? That was NYPD. No. There was CSI had all the different.
Oh yeah, different versions.
Different versions of it. ER didn't have like ER this unit.
No. Okay. I'm surprised. I think they had a spinoff. I forget what it was.
General Hospital.
Oh, no, I think it was one of the cop shows or something that they.
Oh, Cop
spun
Rock.
Off
that was
on.
Awesome.
They never did a musical. Wait.
ER musical?
Did they do a musical? No, that was Scrubs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Scrubs did the
Scrubs
music.
Had a
yeah,
musical because someone had, they were having some disease that made them think everyone
oh,
was
that's right.
singing.
Yeah.
It was like a brain tumor.
Were you sure that wasn't House?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was something like Scrubs.
Okay.
SG-1 was mine, like 10 seasons.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Like,
I didn't catch up to that till later.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not to say that that's the greatest show, but that's
no,
in terms
I,
of the longest running show that
I love
Stargate watched from beginning to end.
Did they? I think I remember them saying they were gonna do a massive multiplayer game of it.
That came and went and came and went, and I think it's dead.
Never happened. But, I thought it was the best. It was the one that seemed most likely
right,
to
the
like.
Premise is
it's
just
actually
right
there.
For
it
right?
Yeah.
Just go through Stargate, and each time, and then the downloadable content, DLC,
oh,
they just keep
yeah.
adding more worlds and more, Stargates.
Quests.
To the...
Maybe they'll do that.
Yeah.
That's a billion-dollar idea that they're probably missing out on.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Absolutely.
Is. I don't know. Like, I wonder sometimes if it just didn't get enough of a fan base, but I would think even in video games it might.
I'm thinking, yeah. Or the playability was just
Do you know
sucked.
If our multiplayer ones... Are they dead? Are they still going?
There's this new one. What, Overwatch? I've never played it, but everybody loves Overwatch.
Yeah,
everybody
is that a multiplayer?
But it's combat. I mean,
what's
so
the name
most
of
multiplayer today is like the combat stuff. You
yeah.
know,
not a lot of like quests Halo together and stuff. And, Halo, yeah.
I keep wanting to say Command and Conquer, but that ain't it.
Grand Theft Auto has an online that's really big, I guess.
Wait, so that, is that what the massive multiplayer world? Is that...
Oh, the massive multiplayer world. Oh, yeah. I mean, World of Warcraft is still huge.
Oh, yeah. They had a Justice League one or the
Because
DC
Star Wars
Super
had
Heroes
one.
Universe.
Yeah, and I think that's still going.
There's a Star Trek strong. Online. I don't know if that's interactive.
I avoided it for the longest time for, like, the same reason. I'm not going to take heroin until I'm, like, you know, diagnosed with an incurable disease for 1,000% certain. Like, you're going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, I might as well try it. Why not, right? But I think... yeah, I avoided World of Warcraft a long time just because I was like, I don't want to get sucked in and then like, you know, lose my writing time or anything. I finally played it and I was like, meh, you know, it's all right. It's I think because, you know, Skyrim ended up being a bigger danger for me than World of Warcraft. Cause,
like, I never played Skyrim, but I heard it was amazing.
Yeah. It's,
are you ever amazed at other people's lives? Like how they like when they talk to them, how they're like, oh, I don't have any plans this week. I don't have anything to do this weekend. I'm like... Nothing like nothing to
do.
Yeah,
when I just stand outside their window and watch
them. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just like, I'm stumbling. They're like, no, nothing going on. I'm like, and sometimes I ask, well, so what do you do for fun? And they're like, you know, I don't know. Like, I ski occasionally. Or like, they don't have anything they do. And I'm like, I've never, like, I was trying to think, I don't think I've had a free weekend since like 2000.
It's hard.
Like,
I mean,
between theater
and.
Theater, comedy, chill. Like, I've never had plan. Like, I just don't like not plan.
What am I going to do this weekend? I don't know. I got anything on the calendar. it's very rare.
Are you going to write?
Out.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
like,
write.
Oh,
I'm gonna,
like,
that's what I
said. Nothing's
I think,
going on. I'm
going
to write.
Writing time.
Yeah. Like, it's. I kid you not. There's always something going on. Like, I like last weekend was one of the first weekends in probably years that I just didn't have anything going on. I was like, all right, you know what? The wife is gone. This weekend, I'm sitting in this house. I'm playing this damn video game. I'm going to write. I'm going to do some stuff.
Do you ever play a video game thing like, you know what? I'm just going to play it a bunch, and it'll get it out of me, and then I won't want to play anymore.
Then
and
you
then
get
you
even
think,
more.
And you're like, I just want it again.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I remember telling her, I was like, I'm going to play this video game all weekend, and then she got back. She was like, did you play it? I was like, didn't even touch it. You know what I mean? Did you just sometimes, I don't know.
You didn't?
I didn't. No, I like Zelda I did, but there...
that doesn't count. That's,
no, yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's like going
so
to the bathroom.
This was probably like a year ago. There was another game I was playing, and she was like, did you play it? And I was like, no, not at all. I just sat here and totally wrote and went on a run and did some other stuff. So, yeah, it was gross.
It's gross and
I hate running. Running is awful. Like, it's one of the worst activities. But I feel like I have to, or else I'm going to like die a young death.
Right.
So.
You don't like the elliptical? I like the elliptical.
Important for the heart, important for the brain.
Yeah. The elliptical to me, I don't know. I just feel like I sit too much at work. You know, it's like you sit for how many hours, then you drive home, then you come back. Or when you're at home, you sit, then you lay down.
Could we write doing like walks around Green Lake? Is there a way to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Could we get a tablet?
Yeah. Or we could like talk into our phones and do it that way.
Yeah, they have treadmill desks now. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. Ooh. Yeah. That's have, really cool.
Really?
Yeah. Where you can basically walk and do your
I'm going to hook up
stuff.
A video game.
And yeah. Yeah, right. And then
that would be the future.
And just standing desks in general. I don't know if, I mean.
They're better. Yeah.
They're much better for you. And
yeah, what ergonomical desks? That you hit a button and it rises?
My ex-wife thought, she just started laughing at me when she came home one day. And I was like, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to start using the exercise bike we got in the office, you know. So once I cleared it of all the objects on it, she comes in. And I've got a keyboard on one side, and I've got a mouse and the monitor, like, so I could. So I was trying to play Civilization while doing it. I was like, I just need to be entertained. I can't just, like, exercise. What? And my brain, this was before smartphones. So you're like, what? My brain just. That was always bugs me. Like, I can't sit somewhere for a half hour and not, you know.
Be entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm disgusting. That's disgusting that I need that attention.
That's just how we've been programmed lately. Yeah. I mean, Facebook and everything else, we got to always have something at our fingertips. It's not like in the 90s when it was like, yeah, man, let's go play, you know, outside and do stuff.
I was thinking, so at this medieval thing.
Yeah.
There's a kid that came. It was like 2 years and a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting there and they couldn't, there's nothing. And I was like, man, back then, I bet there was. Imagine having no toys.
Yeah.
Like my kids, and the guy's like, well, no, they probably had like wood swords. I'm like, yeah, but that's it. That's all they had. And he's like, no, because they had dolls. They would have made dolls. And I'm like, fuck you for destroying my point. My point is, we got too much stuff.
Yeah, you don't have that. Like, everybody gives their kid a cell phone now.
Legos.
Like, they're like, you know, to distract them. And it's like, you learn it from like age one. Two now.
We're not allowed to pull out our phones at that thing.
That's what I'm saying.
It was kind of like a.
Yeah. So it's like, how do I.
Am I supposed to just talk to this person?
Yeah, man.
Without checking it? How do I eat this meal?
I wonder, like,
without
if we'll ever
it.
Get to the point where we're, like, putting down the phones. So.
Yeah, so once they embedded into our eyes.
Yeah.
When everyone has Google Glass.
Right. Ugh. It's going to be the future. So.
Yeah. Google Glass. All right. So your book, where can we pick up your book?
Anywhere where books are sold, basically Amazon,
everywhere.
Barnes and Noble.
Oh, sweet!
Wherever, basically bookstores.
Have you gone into Barnes and Noble and seen your books?
Encourage people to go into the.
Did you
local
see your books
bookstore.
At Barnes and Noble?
Yeah.
Was that okay? First time that happened, was
so,
that just like badass?
I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
I walked in. I'm like, it's the release day of my book. I walked into Barnes and Noble. We went to the shelf, and it wasn't there. I'm like, oh. Okay. So I go and ask the lady, do you have this book? Do you have Fantasy Necromancy by Randy Henderson? Well, let me check that. Oh, yeah. It says we got it in. They're just in the back. They haven't put them on the shelf yet.
Oh, my
God. So then she went and she got one and gave it to me. And so I set it on the shelf and then stepped back and looked at it. And it just kind of like it was a moonlight moment, sort of, right? You ruined that moment for me. But okay, I'll pretend like this is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
Have you walked in since then though, and like seen it just sitting on your shelf, and go, yeah, that's me. That's.
And you know, I still like when I walk into a store, I'm gonna have a reading, and they have like a little poster up with my face, and you know, author event tonight, you know, with Randy Henderson and stuff, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is me.
That's
so
cool.
I mean, it's totally living the dream. You know, it's like what you hope for, but and I try to be in that moment. You know, I try to like.
Yeah.
Not get to the point where it's like, oh, yes. And I would like my water to be 67 degrees. And please have, a masseuse ready to massage my arm after my signatures. And, I don't ever want to get to that point. I always want it to be like, oh, my God.
Yeah. That's what I appreciate about certain, like, people when they make it is, like, just remaining humble and happy. And I don't know. I feel like, will you get there, Silas? Will you be just, like, a jerk?
Will be, huh? Oh, to some people I will be.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure.
I'll be nice to
definitely.
Everybody. Yeah.
You already are.
Yeah, I'm too
inside
nice.
Inside your nut.
I know.
Inside you're thinking nasty things. So I'm just pure inside and out. If I love you, I love you. If I don't, I don't. Whatever.
Oh, fair enough.
That's how I am.
Yeah.
So be sure to pick up Randy Henderson's book. The latest one, Smells Like Finn Spirit.
Yes.
Everyone in Seattle should own that.
They really should.
You got to have a pun.
Yeah,
man. Seattle-based pun.
That's right.
Support our local authors. And we'll have your contact information all on our page, your Twitter, whatever, what you tweet all the time.
Yeah.
As we already learned.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're going to do that. We'll get that out there. All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.